So a little bit of review. Last week, we talked about this idea of our speech being no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It really, really is a big deal. And the whole thing about that section was, you know, it's a very small thing, this tongue, this thing in your mouth, but it can do big effects, have a real big effect. And he talks about, you know, the bit in a horse's mouth, a little tiny thing, a rudder on a ship, a little tiny thing, a little spark, but the effect can be like massive and huge. And it's the same thing about our tongue. He says, if we can control the tongue, the rest can be controlled. A couple of scriptures in your bulletin, let's read those again together. He says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's not only a negative thing, but it's a positive thing as well. 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And then 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So we can encourage, we can bless, we can help people by what we say, or we can destroy them. You can tear them to pieces and destroy them. We're going to see that. Today, the title I came up with is, where'd that come from? Because that's the question. Where does it all come from? Chapter 3, verse 7. Let's pick it up there. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. And out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow forth from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He starts off here by talking about, you know, different, you know, categories, different creatures that can be tamed. And, you know, man can tame them. You know, he talks about the animals. You know, we have dogs and cats, and sometimes we can tame them. It depends on your dog or your cat. Cats pretty much do whatever they want, right? No. I just said that for their effect. But you know, we can tame them. Birds, you know, hawks can be trained. Parrots can be trained. You know, we had this dove for many years. His name was Fred. Do any of you remember Fred? It's like this going way back, but we had this bird named Fred. And Fred, I'm telling you what, he was smart. He was trained. He was actually a ring-necked turtle dove kind of thing. And then we had to move, and then Carol took him, and she raised him, took care of him for years. And he pretty much controlled her life. We got snake charmers, right? We have Shamu. How many of you have seen Shamu? Yeah. You know, the ability to train all these things, and some of them are huge. Like Shamu is like massive, right? And they can be taught and trained. But this little thing we call the tongue. Verse 8, he says, no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. So I guess we just give up, right? And just say whatever we want to say whenever we want to say it, right? That's the answer. Is that the answer? No. Please don't agree with me. The key to that phrase right there says that no man can tame the tongue. That's the key to the phrase. We can't do it. We need help. We need help. No man can tame the tongue, but the work of the Holy Spirit within us can bring this destructive force under control. And John Corson said, in our own, not in our one, that's a misspelling, in our own energy, we cannot do it, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need God to do it. We need the Lord to work in our lives. That's the whole message right here, that we need God's help to do it. David Guzik said the tongue can be brought under the power and control of the Holy Spirit. He said, only God is mightier than the human tongue. Only God is going to give us the ability to actually bring this thing under control. Matthew Henry, the great preacher, said, no man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance. So we need to understand that, first of all. And the deal here is how do we do that? Well, number one, we got to pay attention to this. We got to pay attention to it. And then we pray and we yield and we ask God to do something, to work in us. We have humility. We say, listen, I really blew it. I didn't have control of what I was saying. I said something really stupid, really mean, really wrong, and repent. Sometimes, we need to go and repent and then ask for forgiveness, apologize. Man, what I said, that was just bad. He says there that this tongue is like, it's like a restless evil, and it's translated in different ways, but literally what it means is unrestrainable. You can't hold it in. It's bad. The word evil means to be bad, to be evil, to be injurious, destructive, that it does damage. That little thing in your mouth can do such damage, full of deadly poison. The word means death-bringing. You can kill. Words can kill. But words can also heal. They can also bring life. An old commentary said this, though nature, and I put God in there because really God did it, he has hedged it in, the tongue, with a double barrier of the lips and teeth, but it bursts from its barriers to assail and ruin men. You got two barriers here, but it gets out no matter what. You ever, try to bite the tongue? I got to hold that in. Verse 9, he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and that's good. So we kind of see this thing of, different things can happen. Good and evil can come from this thing we have in our mouths. The first thing he mentions is something good, right? With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. This is good, right? To actually use our tongues to say something good and to worship and to praise the Lord. We just spent time doing that, didn't we? Psalm 35 says, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. My tongue is going to speak about what God has done. And that's good. We should not be afraid to give God glory, to thank Him, to praise Him, to worship Him with our mouths. But he goes on to say, and with it, with our tongues, we curse men. This is not good. One of the concepts I see here that came out to me is this idea of being consistent. It's like being, schizophrenic. You're saying good things and then you're saying evil things. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's what he told us here. With it, we curse men. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and pretty incredible stuff in there, but this is a little bit of what he wrote in chapter 7. He says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. So maybe you're saying, well, I never curse men. I never say anything bad. Well, you don't drive a car, right? I was driving just the other day here in Appanog, and, I needed to get over, and there was a big gap, so I started to move over. But this person just sped right up. make sure I was not going to get in there. That was not good. But for me to get angry about it, I looked at my wife and I said, what, you know, that person, you know, and I had to stop myself. But again, if you don't drive, then you don't have this problem. Right? You're never going to have this problem. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. You know, we judge other people for what they say, but you know what? We do the same thing. Let's get honest. Let's get real. I do it. You do it. If we're going to be honest, let's say I do this stuff. This applies to me. It applies to you. We praise God and then we curse people who have been made in God's likeness. That's what Genesis chapter 1 says. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. That kind of deals with that training that James was talking about. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created us this way. But we're created in the image of God. It doesn't mean that we are God, but we have some of his likeness. And so when we curse people, it's the same as this, we're cursing God. I have to point this out, though. It's very clear what he says back in Genesis. This is in Genesis chapter 1, by the way, male and female. He created them. That's pretty clear. It's a pretty clear statement. That's not our subject. Again, how consistent are we? You know, I can get up here and give a beautiful message and say all the right words and then on the way home have some kind of thing where some foul thing comes out of my mouth. How consistent is that? How consistent are we with what we say? Is there, you know, that kind of thing happening in our lives? Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, he says in verse 10. My brothers, this should not be. Notice he says, my brothers, and that applies to, you know, Christians. That applies to you and I, brothers and sisters. He says, this should not be. You know, when we're at church, oh, we say all the greatest stuff. We smile, we look really good, and then we get home. Ooh. Or we go to work, and we're hanging out with the guys at work, and we're saying this and saying that, listening to this, listening to that. We get to school, and you know, we're different here and different there. He says this should not be, to be consistent, to be who you really are. So where's the problem? That's what I said. Where'd that come from? Where's the problem? Where is the problem? He says in verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can both of these come out of this same place? Can a fig tree bear olives? Verse 12, grapevine bear figs. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It's interesting, this word for fresh is actually a form of the word for glucose. That's why some translations say sweet. And the word for salt is pikros, which translated is piercing or sharp, or bitter, harsh. These are the things that come out of our mouths. Are they piercing? Are they sharp? Are they bitter? Are they harsh, or is there sweetness that can come out? That this is the things that James is talking about. This word flow means to abound. What's coming out of us, this fountain? And really, he talks about a spring there, and getting to my point here, the spring is like the source. Where is it coming from? What is the supply? And really, where do these words come from? It comes from in us. It doesn't just come from our head, though that has something to do with it. Just our tongue doesn't like speak on its own, right? That would be weird. Your tongue's just, you know, flapping away and doing this stuff. And then you take no responsibility for it because it, you know, my tongue did it. The stuff came out of me. It came out of you. Those words came out of us. And Jesus said, out of what? Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he goes on to say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. When he talks about the heart here, he's not talking about the physical organ we call the cardio, the heart. He's talking about the depths of who we are, the heart of who we are. This is where these words come from. They come out of the very depths of who you and I are. Pastor Chuck said, the mouth is the voice piece of the heart, and it reveals what's inside him by his tongue. And Chuck said, and sometimes that frightens me. And I think it should. And he wasn't just talking about other people. I think he was also talking about himself. See, Pastor Chuck was incredible, but he wasn't perfect, right? Someone said only a renewed heart can produce pure speech. So we've got this going on now. So it's coming out from within us, right? Solomon, again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, he says this, and it's talking about wisdom. He says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. I said earlier, what do? Well, we pay attention to it. We pray. We humble ourselves. We ask God to help us. We repent when we need to. But we need wisdom about this too. He goes on to say, and you say, well, what's that got to do with speaking? Well, he goes on to say, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. That's someone who babbles on, who speaks, right? He says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. So we need wisdom about this whole idea. Again, it applies to every one of us. So Solomon says we need wisdom. We need to pay attention. Wisdom brings success. We need to think about this in our lives and ask God for his wisdom. James said in chapter 1, right, if you need wisdom, what should you do? What?
Ask God,
right? And he will what? It's a promise. He will give it to you. So if you have this problem with speaking, and not just you, but all of us do, we need to ask God, well, God, how can I bring this in control? What do I need to do? Give me wisdom about what's going on here, about what's going on in me, inside of me, in the heart of me. Because that's, again, where do the words come from? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One thing that I also know as well is that it's a battle. And being a Christian is a battle sometimes, and we battle this battle of the flesh and the spirit, right? It's a battle going on, and if we aren't aware of that, and if we don't understand that, we'll think, you know, that we're horrible people or whatever, but there's a battle that's taking place between our flesh and our spirit. Two places that we find it. Romans chapter 7, a whole big section there. Paul says this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Later on, he says, I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh, in my sinful nature, this flesh that we're still in. He said, I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. I do not do the good I want to do, But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. At least he has some kind of an idea. Again, the wisdom is like, hey, there's a problem here. He says in verse 22, in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that is at work within me. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? In verse 25, he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. How are we going to survive this? I can't do it on my own. No man can tame his own tongue. But thanks be to God who delivers us, who strengthens us, who gives us the help that we need. Galatians chapter 5, he says, so I say, Paul says here, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not, so you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul says that there's this battle that's taking place between the flesh and the Spirit, and that we need to walk by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. That's part of how do we win this battle. That's how. But do we always do that? Is that natural? Is it automatic? Well, I'm a believer, so I walk by the Spirit all day long. Really? Just you saying that tells me either you're not walking by the Spirit at all. Pastor Chuck, again, he said, things I wished that I hadn't said and things that I wish I had said. We need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to be used by Him, to be helpful to people's lives. God wants to help people. God wants to encourage and bless and comfort and strengthen and all. And He can use us to do it as we yield to His Holy Spirit, as we ask Him to work in us. And again, it's not automatic. It takes prayer. It takes us making that choice, making that decision. We need His help. In the book of Exodus, you know, chapter 15, there's a place where it says that Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. It says, for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter, right? The water was bitter. Sometimes I wonder, you know, about us. You know, bitter words come out because there's bitterness inside of us that God wants to heal and to work in. So the people grumbled against Moses. That's what came out of their mouths. They said, what are we to drink? And then Moses cried out to the Lord. Again, that's what I'm talking about here. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. And there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands, keep all of His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Moses cried out to the Lord, what in the world am I going to do? And he took a piece of wood. He threw that in the water, and it made the water sweet. It was bitter before. So it doesn't say that there, of course, but what is the obvious for us as New Testament believers? What is the obvious application here? Anybody? The cross, right? The cross. We got to take the cross. We got to come to the cross. We need to let the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus work inside of us. Again, it's not automatic. It takes us to pray, to seek Him, to ask Him, to fall on our faces before Him. Moses, it says, he cried out to the Lord. God, I need help to control my tongue, what I say. I want to be used by you to do something good with what comes out of my mouth. Not just to hurt people and to destroy lives, to kill, to bring bitterness. He told them, the Lord told them, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. Sometimes we need to be healed. We need that healing deep inside of us. Again, where do the words come from? They come from deep inside of us. We need God to do this healing within us to help and work in us. And he will. He promises that he will. He says, I am Yahweh who heals you. The cross, it brings that sweetness. You have a sheet there that we handed out, and I don't have mine. I didn't get mine. Can I borrow someone's? Please. Thank you, Miss Lisa. But if you'll read along with me, we're just going to read this. This was in a devotional that I saw by a person named Ann Spangler, and it says this, what's in your bucket? Someone said bucket list. No, this is not bucket list. In verse 34, Matthew chapter 12, different translation, but same concept here. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And if we want to bring more peace to our lives and to the lives of others, a good place to begin is by taking an inventory of our hearts. As the Amplified Bible puts it, it's out of the heart's overflow that the mouth speaks. Try picturing a bucket of dirty water. Now imagine putting a brick in the bucket and watching as the dirty water overflows. It's the same with our hearts. Think of the brick as the input we get, the way others treat us, the circumstances we face, the opportunities that present themselves. What comes out of our mouths is strictly a function of what is already in the bucket. It's not the brick, it's what's in us already. But if love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit are in your bucket, your words will bear witness. But if your words are often tinged with anger and self-pity and hostility and jealousy or complaining, then something is amiss. Chronic negative speech is a symptom of a heart problem, not a speech problem. And here's what I've been talking about. Fixing it requires that we admit we have a problem. And that we ask God and others for forgiveness, but that's not all. In Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5, he says that when their lives are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And if we want our words to produce good things for ourselves and others, we have to learn to yield to God's Spirit, seeking to put every area of our lives under His control and guidance. All of us are guilty of negative speech at times, but the more we ask God to fill us with His Spirit, the more we will find that our tongues become instruments of blessing rather than of hurt. And this is the prayer. Father, forgive me for the times I've offended you and others by the way that I've spoken. Please cleanse my heart through the power of your Spirit. Pour out your grace and your truth, and let me live with greater hope as I daily yield to the power of your Spirit at work within me. That's what we need, every single one of us. That's what we need, to yield to God's Spirit so that we can have the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. We don't let the flesh rule and reign. That song we sing, you know, set a guard in my heart, you know. Help me to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Work in my heart, because that's where the words come from. That's what we pray, ask God to work on our hearts. Let's pray together now, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we are maybe convicted, maybe not convicted, but we need to be. We want to be vessels of honor, vessels that bring forth good, that bring forth fruit, bring forth healing, Father, it's a very dark and painful world we live in, and I know that you want to do something about that in people's lives, and I pray you would use us, and I pray that you, as we yield to your Holy Spirit within us, that you would work. You would heal us. You would cleanse us. You would work deep within our hearts, Lord, to bring us to that place that we can be used by you. Father, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. We're not on our own. We don't have to do this. We can't do it on our own anyways. Your word makes that so clear. I can't do it. But you can do it in me. Remind us of these words as we go through this life, even this day, this week, this year. That you want to work in this area of our lives. And it's a biggie. It's not no big deal. It is a big deal, Lord. You want to work. You need to work. We surrender. We submit to you. We yield to you, Lord. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for what you did. You came and you never said anything evil. You lived a perfect, sinless life. And they crucified you for our sins. For the evil things that we say, you died on that cross for us. You were buried, you rose from the dead for the victory. We surrender to the cross. Pray that cross would continually affect us as we come to it again and again and again, each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?